Let me echo a little bit from this morning and just say how much the church here means to us. It's meant so much to me over the years since I first came when I was in the nursery. So it's been a long time ago. My family did move away for a few years in my elementary years, but then moved back, and I was here right through high school. And I'm so thankful for the academy here and for the church and the tremendous examples just all around in all the years that I came to the auditorium here for services. And I'm just so thankful for that. We want to express again our appreciation for the financial support that helps us to be there in South Africa. Also the other generous gifts like at Christmas time and other times. We're so thankful for that. Again, even more so for your prayers. We just treasure those and need those. And again, I think one of the best things that you gave us was when you let the Schlegels come and visit us and loaned them to us for a while there. We really had a wonderful time some years back when we had, not too many years back, but we had their visit. They are such a blessing to us on the field there. I want to fill out a little bit more from our presentation this morning. You'll notice that we really have two major focuses on the ministry. The one's the Calvary Bible Baptist Church in North Pine. We are wanting to see our church there. We're still praying towards and working towards our first South African pastor. And again, a missionary is a pastor in a sense of trying to work his way out of the job and go on to others. And we're thankful that we have the North Pine focus there, but then also the Guguletu ministry that the Lord opened up about 11 years ago when Sizwe and Busi came to know Christ as Savior and just opened right up the community that they were raised in. And that's been an amazing place to be able to share the gospel over the years since that time. So we really have two main focuses there of ministry. It's been wonderful having co-workers to come to join us, like in the past year or so. And so we praise the Lord for Nathan and Kristen Childs. And before them, we had the Fruins, Ron and Tina Fruin, that arrived. And it really is wonderful to be able to multiply what we can do through multiplying our numbers there, working together for the gospel ministry, even while we continue to focus on and promote the leadership within our church there as well. And so we praise God for what He is doing, and I'm not going to repeat, try to recap all that was in the presentation this morning, but I do want to share a few things that you can be praying for us about as far as the ministry goes there. The one is we have more and more in recent years here needed a building for the church, and that has become more challenging. Actually, the community hall works wonderfully for us when we have it, but it's limited, and we do not even have the first shot at scheduling now. And so, and we're only allowed to schedule usually month by month. And so, if anyone from the community wanted to book it on a Sunday morning, as long as they went to, you know, the municipality to book it before we do, and we're not supposed to book it until shortly before the month starts to give others an opportunity, well, then we don't get the hall, and we need to meet in homes and maybe try to connect through Zoom. Okay, we had to do that through COVID lockdowns and all of that, but we're really hoping to be, you know, past that. And part of the challenge is when you're inviting, you know, people from the community, and you're out to witnessing and inviting to church, and you're telling them where the community hall is, it's difficult to wonder if anyone showed up when we're not there on a Sunday morning. So we've been actively engaged and even looking for a building. Our church has been there, saving for many years, it's been hard for the savings to keep up with the prices. And with the property prices there, it's quite a challenge. So if you'd be in prayer for us about that, we do have a fund at Baptist World Mission that is there not for the church to look to someone else to purchase, a building for them, but just to supplement, just to help out. And that's gotten up to about 35% of what we're looking for. That would give us something to really be in a better position to be looking. We did come pretty close this past year, late this last year. We would have been able to offer 75% of an asking price for a warehouse in an industrial area that's right next to the community of the church. And so, again, purchasing land and then developing that land to be able to then pay for building costs is really seems out of the question. So we're looking for something existing that we can then remodel and make to work for us there. But we'd really appreciate your prayers towards that, as that will not only help us to have a building for the church, but also for a trades college that's part of the vision of our team and something that Brother Ron Fruin's skills can really help us with. He teaches and loves to teach a Bible and teach a whole array of things, but he also has a lot of trades-oriented skills, building skills and electrical and different things like that that he can also use. Well, there's a lot of young adults that do not have work and it seems like spiritually are not always on top of things and really on fire for the Lord, whether connected with our ministries or some other churches that I might think of as sister churches of other missionaries and other church plants in other parts of Cape Town there. And so we really want to not be losing our young people, how often we can seem to lose them when they're coming through, get done with high school or getting out on their own. And we really want to be able to challenge them to be biblical and have a Christian worldview and be able to, even if they're going on to another, maybe secular institution somewhere for some training, to be ready to stand for their faith. And so please be in prayer for us about that. We're not waiting until we have the building because we have some students already. And those are coming from Gugulet too. And the Lord's been blessing in this second church plant that we're focusing on in Gugulet too, as even over these past couple years with COVID, we've seen a more consistent numbers, especially some men, kind of young to middle-aged men, mostly, some older as well, but coming consistently. Brother Seasway had an outing, kind of an activity late last year to encourage all of those that we see on some Sundays, but not every Sunday, try to get everybody together for an activity. And he actually had 20 men that showed up from the Gugulethu area there. Again, we don't see them all on one particular Sunday usually, but those numbers have been just growing and really good of what we do see on a Sunday there at Gugulethu. So that was tremendous. Well, we actually have 10 men signed up to begin classes, so Bible classes and also trades-oriented classes as a first session of what we'd like to see become this trades-oriented Christian college that I think will be a tremendous help to our ministry and other ministries there in the Cape. So I just wanted to share that with you, and those classes begin by the end of this month, so we're probably about a week away, aren't we, to those classes that will be beginning there. So we are excited about 10 men that have a testimony of salvation and want to be helped out in a trades area, but also receive Bible training at the same time. We're excited about what that will mean in the future. One thing that has been a blessing with our coworkers' help and all. Again, did you ever notice you can only be in one place at one time? So it's wonderful when there's more than one of you that are working together. And we've had a blood pressure outreach, if I can call it that. Now, the end goal is not taking blood pressure. That's something along the way. But during the COVID time, you know, with all of the lockdowns and the clinics working at partial staffs and partial hours, and there's a real scaling back of what all, and I think it's still scaled back somewhat, of what all they would offer of the normal things someone would want to go to the clinic for. And my wife was even showing me some statistics that she found that said either in our area or I can't remember if they're countrywide, but high blood pressure rates being at 45% of men and 48% of women. So in other words, blood pressure is something that many people are concerned with over there. And so we got this idea from some other missionaries. It was working out well for them. And again, in our community of North Pine, during these last couple years, you know, the community has not been quite as excited, not everyone, to have someone knocking on their door and talking to them. We've tried to be more creative in North Pine in that way. Now, in Guguletu, things seem to just continue on as normal. You can go knock on doors and what have you, but just the communities are different in that way. But in North Pine, this has been a great help to meet people. So, and the shops across from the street, from the community hall where we meet, we have permission to set up a tent there two Saturdays a month. And as people are walking to the shops, there's a lot of foot traffic through there. And there's our tent. And so we'll take people's blood pressure. We obviously do not give medical advice, but we will give them some written information and encourage them if they need to go see their doctor. And so it's just a little community service. But it's really helped to meet people, to get to invite them to church. Everyone is at least given a gospel tract, and many people are able, you know, our church folks are able to speak with many about Christ even beyond that. We started just about 2 months ago, once a month, doing the same thing in Guguletu, and had just a tremendous turnout. And the very next day after our first time of that, there were 8 visitors that showed up at our Sunday afternoon service at Guguletu. So it's wonderful to hear good things that are going on, continuing to go on there, and how God is blessing there in both of the ministries there. So please be in prayer for us about those things, and that God will just continue to open up doors, and that He will help us to go through those doors and to take the opportunities He gives us and to see God continue to work there. You could lastly pray for our visas. We went ahead and applied for visas before coming back because we knew that the process right now is much longer than it normally would be, just with how things are, you know, with the COVID recovery days and all of that, trying to get back to normal. But instead of a 2 or 3 month process, it's at least like a 9 month process. And I hear it might be more than that if you're not calling and encouraging the process. So anyway, we would appreciate your prayers. We hope to head back in September. We have a pretty full schedule of weekends between now and September. We're actually prayerful that we can be here for a special Sunday at Marquette Manor coming up with your celebration and all. And we'd love to take part on that. We're working towards that and hoping that falls in line and all. But anyway, if you could pray as well about our visa renewals, that we can return to the field in September there. I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. That's where we'll be, in Colossians 1. Through the presentation this morning, you met Vuyani, who's been a great blessing as he's come to know the Lord within the last couple years. It was right about a year ago when he, after a time when we didn't see him for a while at church, I wasn't really sure, you know, what he was working through, but Brother Seasway and his wife Boosie kept up with Buyani and Seema and were having them over. This is during these last couple years here, but we're having them over and watching their children for them at times when they needed it, and, you know, just being good friends and also talking with them further and encouraging them. And then when things opened up more where we could meet as a church again, it's wonderful to see Seema, and then not long after that to see Vuyani coming back. And it was about a year ago that he sent a message to our church, a text to our church family, and said, "I now believe I'm a born-again believer." And that was just wonderful to see. As you heard in the testimony, he refers to himself as a shy person, but I've seen God pushing him out of that shyness. And he's been coming out on visitation with Seasway and myself, and then also he gave his testimony one Sunday afternoon at the Gugulethu afternoon ministry and other opportunities that have arisen. I remember when he sent me a text and said, "I went to the doctor and I asked where the receptionist was." The receptionist was someone he had gotten to know. And the doctor said, "Oh, he's very sick." And Seasway asked, "Well, you're a doctor. Are you able to help him?" And the doctor replied, "Why would I do that? He stole a lot of medicines from our clinic. The reason he's sick is because I'm praying to God and my ancestors to judge him for that." And I sent a question to Vuyani. I already had an idea what the answer would probably be. And I was right. I said, "Would this doctor consider herself a Christian?" He said, "Oh, yes, she goes to church. She calls herself a Christian." And Vuyani went on to say, "But I shared with her that the true gospel does not make people take vengeance on other people. The true gospel is a message of forgiveness." I believe he went on to tell her about the complete Savior that Jesus is, and about his shed blood on the cross, the complete payment by a complete Savior, and went on to encourage her that the true gospel is not what she was claiming to follow. What a testimony from someone fairly new in the Lord, but is really growing and is a great blessing to our church there. He's putting on display that the message he received was not a false one. It was the true gospel message. And that's when we come to Colossians chapter 1. We find Paul, right after his greetings in verse number 3, I believe he's opening up to us his prayer life as he tells us what he's thanking God for. And he says in verse 3 here, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Here, Paul is writing to the Colossian believers, and he's thanking God that what God is working out in their life, the spiritual fruitfulness being worked out in their life, is putting on display that the gospel they received was not a false message, but it was God's message. It was the true gospel of Jesus Christ. See, false teachers were coming into the church. And as we read through this letter, we get hints here and there of what false teachings they were bringing. And it was a message that Christ is not enough. It was a false message that you need to add to Christ rituals or something else. to really have assurance of your spiritual condition and welfare. Again, they were bringing in, false teachers were bringing in a false message. Let me pause for a moment and have us just consider the setting here of this letter with the Colossians. Colossae was well inland in the province that, well, we would call today the country of Turkey. You had Asia Minor back then. And if you went to the coast, the west coast of, again, what we call Turkey, you had the real city, okay, of Ephesus there with the great temple to Diana or Artemis. And it was a real stronghold of worship to this goddess, you know, a pagan stronghold there. And we can just imagine the intimidation there on people of this mighty. I mean, when we think of how zealous they were, well, we see that in the book of Acts, don't we? When Paul and companions were there, and before they left, there was a riot of people shouting about the goddess Diana, and greatest Diana of the Ephesians. And there we see the zeal for these traditional beliefs that the people had and these pagan beliefs. Well, from Ephesus, if you traveled a Roman road about 120 miles east, through valleys and gorges and along the river Lycus, you would eventually come to another Roman road crossing, kind of crisscrossing the province there. So there was a lot of traffic through there. But there were three towns, and one of those towns was Colossae. And there Paul is writing. As far as we can tell, Paul, if it appears, had not visited Colossae. It was companions of Paul, and perhaps Epaphras may have been the main one to lead the church planting efforts. And it appears from what we see here that that he's their pastor there. And Paul is even sending some greetings from him toward the end of this letter. But here are people that have come to Christ out of a traditional background, out of a pagan background, out of false beliefs. And now false teachers are coming into the church and trying to sell them a message that's false, trying to bring them under bondage to fear that they need to add rituals. They need to be concerned about the spirit realm and what's going to happen to them from things they cannot see if they don't add certain beliefs and certain practices, really trying to bring them into a bondage there. This is so interesting to me because it reminds me of sharing the gospel in Googletu that you saw again in the presentation this morning and that we've been talking about, of people trapped in fears and traditional beliefs and fears of the spirit realm if they don't uphold what they've grown up being taught, and that bad things are going to happen, and that the devil uses that to blind eyes, spiritual eyes, and to hold them in bondage. And everything about that pushes back against the gospel that Jesus is the only Savior. And He's a complete Savior. And yet Paul writes to them, if we just glance over here in chapter 2, verse number 9, talking about Christ, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Wow, you cannot get more complete than that. He's the God-man. He's complete deity, and yet He became one of us so that He could suffer and die and bleed and be our representative. He's the perfect God-man. And yet we see it go on, verse 10, after exalting Him and His completeness, we see in verse 10, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." He's a complete Savior. And if you're truly saved, it's because your completeness is found in Him. You're not bringing anything of your own achievements or any supposed, you know, personal goodness or merit to that. No, he's complete. And we can only be saved by finding our completeness in him. What a message Paul writes to encourage these Colossian believers in the face of false teachers, that the answer is Christ, and find your completeness in him. And these false teachings will just fall away. There's no room for them if you really know Christ and know him as he truly is. But let me go back to focus back in the beginning of Paul sharing, again, I believe just sharing his heart, opening up his prayer life here as he shares the portion of his thanksgiving towards these believers that, again, he may not have met yet, but they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he writes to them in verse 3 of chapter 1, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." I want to look again at the things that he thanks God for. And I want to encourage you, as you pray for us, for our church and other church plants around the world that you have on your prayer list and you pray for and support, that you'll pray that God would continue more and more as we grow in his grace to put on display for the lost the reality of the true gospel. So they will want to hear about it. It'll be a convincing message. They'll be drawn to want to know what's different about those that know Christ and don't just claim to be Christian, but truly know Christ through the true gospel from the Word of God. Well, we can pray for believers around the world and for local churches around the world that God would put on display genuine faith. Do you see that in verse 4? "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." See, the gospel message is a message that deals with faith and with love and with hope. And when we receive the real gospel message, we're receiving Jesus Christ himself. He is what the gospel message is all about. It's Christ. And so receiving him, he is our righteousness, our justification. He is our redemption. He is our sanctification. It's knowing it's our relationship to him that allows us to grow in grace as the Holy Spirit that lives within us takes God's word and teaches us and convicts us and helps us to respond and grows us. And it's Christ that needs to be seen in our lives because of our very real personal relationship with him and our standing that we have in him as a believer in Christ. So there's this reality of faith. Well, it begins with letting go of false beliefs and putting our trust in Christ alone as Savior. These false teachers were bringing in false beliefs. They're adding to the gospel message. And Paul is encouraging them, look at Christ. Remember who your Savior is. And these false beliefs won't trouble you. They won't bring you into a bondage of fear. If you would look over with me at chapter 2, and I'm going to look at verse 16 here, as these false teachers apparently were bringing rituals and apparently maybe even what God gave Israel in the Old Testament set up there, that they were bringing some aspects from the law of what God gave Israel, which again, we know the law is good, but the law doesn't save. The law teaches. It teaches about God. It taught Israel a lot about God, and it taught them about their own sinfulness and their need to come to God in God's way. And there's so many pictures there, weren't there, that we know are found their fulfillment in Christ. and Christ is the only Savior. And so Paul writes to them in chapter 2 here, and verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." He's telling them that's not the basis of your salvation. If you went to the temple on this day, or if you, yeah, God did give those things to Israel for an important purpose and teaching tool, and they were preparing for Christ, and they do teach us about God, and that was all good and purposeful and important, but that's not what they're finding their salvation in, and some personal achievement of keeping the law. He goes on to say here, in verse number 17, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." A shadow. When you're looking and a shadow falls across your path, what do you naturally do? You follow it to see what's coming, what's casting the shadow. I'll never forget when my family was able to go away on a family vacation to a game reserve in South Africa. And we were in a community right outside the game park with a fence. Okay, it's fenced in, but the fence doesn't always keep the animals out, especially when the warthogs dig holes under the fence. And so you have to be careful, even for lions and leopards and things like that. And so it's an exciting place to go. And I remember sitting on a porch of a friend of ours has had a home there. And I remember sitting on a porch, and I'm reading and in this wonderful setting, and this big shadow filled the porch. And I looked, and it was the only thing I thought it could be. This giraffe had stepped out. It was right off the porch. I mean, like the second row here. And was eating from a tree. And then it got better. The baby giraffe stepped out next to its mother. And we're eating from the tree. And here that's a wonderful way to read theology. And to just glory in God's creatures. And it's an amazing moment there. But I can guarantee you, I wasn't looking for their shadows. Okay, the shadow got my attention. The shadow pointed me to the right thing. But when the bodies are there, when the real thing is there, you're not worried about the shadow anymore. And Paul's encouraging these believers in Colossians. He's reminding these Colossian believers, Christ alone is the Savior. Your salvation did not come by adding rituals to Christ. And don't be brought under a bondage of fear to the spirit realm by false teachers coming in with things that are added to Christ. No, Christ is the Savior, and He's a complete Savior. And you can only find your completeness in Him as the Savior. But then believers go on to take steps of faith and to grow in their trust of God and applying the Word of God and in difficult times, trusting God and believing His word. And so we see these believers. What's one thing that Paul thanked God for their faith, that their lives were putting on display? But not only that, we see later in verse 4, "and of the love which ye have to all the saints." Their love was put on display as well. I love how this letter, you might want to look for this sometime if you're reading Colossians. Paul mentions here, he's praising God for the faith, for the love, for the hope that are found in their lives. But then as you read throughout the letter, those qualities are woven into the letter. They keep coming back up. And it's a beautiful thing to see what was on Paul's mind of giving thanksgiving to God for. And even as we, if we just look over at verse 9, you're going to see a more complete expression of what Paul was praying about for these Colossian believers. What a prayer. Don't we wish that we prayed like this, believers? This is what we ought to work towards as we want to grow and mature in our prayers. I know I'm nowhere near yet, but I love how Scripture gives us models for prayer to grow in our prayers for others. And as I look here at Paul's prayer for these believers, I can see some of these qualities woven back in, and one of those is love. Would you look over at verse 13? Talking about Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or more literally, the Son of His love. Where does the love start that we enjoy as a believer in Christ and that we share with one another? It starts in God. In the triune God is the perfect love among the members of the Trinity. And we trust Christ as Savior, and it's like we're invited right into that love as we're now in Christ, and the Father loves us as He loves His Son, because we're in the Son. And we're brought into this love of God, and we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, share that with one another. But it doesn't just stop there. We can reach out to those that don't know Christ and put on display for them the love of God. And oh, that they would see Christ in our lives. Well, we could mention as well here hope that comes in verse number 5. For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Of course, not the hope-so hope like we often use the word, but the Bible word, meaning a confident expectation. Why? Because we have the promises of God. And when God promises something, it comes true. And we can rest in that. And so our lives now are geared towards knowing that God's promises are going to come true. And we look for Christ to return. And we look for the fulfillment of what God has told us in His Word. But even right now, being a believer in Christ, we rest in the realities that we can't see. But look over with me at chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. Wow, that's exciting. Right after Resurrection Sunday, to be looking and remembering that spiritual truth there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, verse 4 reminds us there also is a future looking for God's promises to come true. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Oh, when we have that biblical hope, and when we see ourselves even now in our position in Christ, and He's exalted, oh, that we will live in that way. And I'm asking you to pray for our church in North Pine and the believers in Guguletu, that we will grow in faith and in love and in living out a biblical hope, which totally changes your values. Okay, we still need to go to work and work hard, and we live in this world, and there's a lot of mundane day-to-day things that are important and necessary, but yet the value of them changes, doesn't it? When we see ourselves in Christ, we remember that He's risen and He's exalted, and that He's coming back, and that time could be very short, and that we have the opportunity to live for Him. When in our hearts we exalt Christ, then our lives display a greater evidence of that reality and the truth of the gospel that we tell people. You know, as we pray for believers and churches around the world, I like to remember that I'm on the most solid praying ground, that God will bless our church and grow us in Cape Town, in faith, in love, in hope, to put on display the reality of what we're telling people about, the good news of the gospel, and that we're telling, what we're telling is not empty and false and just ritualistic and a false road. No, it's the reality from God. I'm reminded that when my life day by day is growing in faith and love and hope, and I'm responding to what God's Spirit's doing in my heart, then I can pray effectively that God will be doing the same in the lives of our loved brothers and sisters there in Cape Town. It means so much to us that you all, as a church that I'm so thankful for and appreciate so much who you are as a church and what God does in and through your lives, it means so much that you are praying for us over there. Oh, that we will let God have His way in our lives so that we can keep ourselves in that place of really being able to be effective in prayer day by day. I appreciated the song earlier, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." What a great statement. You know, God calls us to things that are not easy steps. You know that. You don't have to think hard. I'm sure things come to your mind easily that are not easy steps, but they're steps that grow you in faith and love and biblical hope. And God pushes you like Vuyani out of your comfort zone to take that step of obedience. I'm thinking of a story that was an amazing blessing to me. It's a book sat on my shelf for I don't know how many years. And it was about a woman that went to Congo in 1927. She went as a single medical missionary under the mission organization of C.T. Studd. And she went, and she was all excited to get there to the Congo and to be able to help people medically, yes, but then more importantly, to tell them about Jesus. And yet on the plane, on the way over, she was hearing about the lepers in Africa. Again, I'm talking 1927, so that might help us with the setting here to put ourselves a little bit more in her shoes. Quite honestly, leprosy scared her. Number one, she was scared of the disease, but number two, she feared, if I help one leper, we're going to be flooded. And what are we going to do then with all the people that are going to come with leprosy? How are we going to help all of them? And how can we accomplish any of the other ministry, and what are we going to do? So those two things feared her. But she was there for some, I don't know how many weeks or months, I'd like to look that back up and read again, but she was there for a time. And she would have long lines, along with other medical missionaries there, she would have long lines of people waiting for her help. And again, then they would also preach the gospel to those dear people. And one day, it's like her fears took the shape of a man back there somewhere in the line, and she could even tell at a distance from his swollen features and things that she feared that he was a leper. You know, she did not even see him that day. She found a way to avoid him, had someone find a place for him to spend the night, but she, again, her fears were just right there in front of her. I think, if I remember right, she didn't even see him the second day. I think it was about the third day after God was dealing with her, and through her devotional time and her relationship with the Lord, she said, it's as if God was saying to her, I have to win you so that I can win the leper. And she loved the Lord. But we have steps of growth to take, don't we? It doesn't matter how long we've known the Lord and loved the Lord and are in ministry through our local church and serving with God, the gospel to others, God still puts us in places where we've got another step of trust and where we're going to learn a new level of love, Christ's love, reverberating through our heart, but moving us to reach out. And it's going to grow us in our biblical hope as well, and what's really important in this life. And yet she did, I think it was about the third day, she faced her fear, she trusted God, and she helped him, and he truly was helped, and as I understand, he also was told about Jesus and came to Christ. That's what really rejoiced her heart. And her other fears came true as well. They had, the word got out, and here the lepers began coming. And you know, they did the best they could to cope with that, but the dozens became scores, became eventually hundreds, and eventually became thousands, and they literally had villages of lepers that they were helping and ministering to and preaching the gospel to. And we'll only know in heaven one day how many came to Christ, but I imagine it's a whole lot that we're going to meet. God won out in her heart that day. And it's interesting that later, there's a long story with her life. She was married to someone on the mission field then, and they served together, and eventually the Lord took him home. And she came to a time when a doctor back overseas told her that her health condition was such that if she went back to the field, she did not have long to live. She would live much longer if she just stayed in her home country. He said, you know, you've had a wonderful ministry with the lepers there, but you need to leave that to others now. And you just need to look after your health. And she looked at him and said, but doctor, you don't understand. You say I've had a wonderful life, but the lepers are my life. I have to go back. Now, I'm not saying that would be God's answer for everyone in that situation. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying for her, she knew where God wanted her. And it's amazing that it went from something that she feared that was holding her back in ministry, but she trusted God, and that became the most special thing. Really, her ministry became a ministry to thousands of lepers, and she from there, even with a team, began to fly to other countries beyond the Congo to try to see how they could even expand further. It's an amazing thing that God did. Oh, that we let God have his way. This week, what will it be that God will challenge us with that's a step beyond what we've taken before, but you can trust God. And as we trust God, God's putting on display the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, and our walk with him. And he's letting others get a glimpse of the reality of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me thank you for your prayers. Please, as you pray for us, remember to pray that God will keep growing us, growing our church, growing the believers there, so that others will more and more see Christ, and we'll keep having wonderful opportunities to share the gospel. Pastor, I'm going to ask if you'll come and